The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Adults here, aren't we? The Bard of Broadcasting, once again, only me, right here. Wake up! It's night! On down the Hallelujah Trail, we are still moving ever forward with me, Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Cotolo, that is, that's the name. The other names don't matter. Stay with us. Y2K plus 16 rapidly coming to end, but here we are, still here. Cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Yes, we've been saying that for going on almost 12 years from the hub of SRN MediaWorks. That's our hub, our server, ISP hub, going on that, our connection, our, I don't know, what letters are those? I don't know. That's what we have there. And coming up on 12, a dozen years there, the MediaWorks station itself, located in Canada, will be 19 years old. But also, Cotolo Chronicles, of course, is just about everywhere else. Go to cotolochronicles.blogspot.com and find out there where else you can hear the show. Of course, Juiced Talk Radio. No, I shouldn't say Juiced Talk. JuicedTalk.com. There is a Juiced Talk Radio, but Juiced Talk, that's where the artist D and the whole gang over there, too. But I'm talking about Juiced Talk Radio. No, stop it. JuicedTalk.com. That's where you can get your archives. And other stations around are welcome for absolutely nothing. Just like the people who listen and want to listen or download can do on their own time. You could put Cotolo Chronicles and upcoming, which is coming back, Savino Veritas, at the end of my show. And then that show starts. That'll be coming up again as Tom Savino comes back in December. December's a big month, too, for all of us involved in these broadcasts. Why is that? Because on the 8th of December, this is the second time in a couple of years. I don't remember the last time. Was that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? When my birthday falls on the 8th of December, that is a Thursday, so it's a live casino, I said. See, I was thinking of Tom. That's what was the name of our company, Casino Loot Productions. It's a Chronicles evening because it's Thursday, just like Thanksgiving in America coming up on the 24th. That'll be 2 weeks from now if you're listening to this live. If you're not listening to it live, you're listening to it lifelike on those other sources. See, this would be confusing to anybody who did not know the interweb. But you people know this stuff. You are a generation. Well, but you're a generation. You're this generation. You grew up with this crap. And we had to learn it and go about doing it. So what's going to happen? We're going to have some fun. There'll be a couple of people here on that Thursday Night Live. It'll be like, and so you can join the party. Come on in. We're going to leave Skype open so you can call in. Not just to wish me happy birthday, just have a part of the party, part of the party, be a part of the party, part of the party, be a part of the party, part of the party, be a part of the party. and we'll have some fun. We hope. We will. It's fine. We'll do great with that. And Tom Savino, of course, coming back, as I said, in December. And that's when our rebroadcasting, the refurbished from the 1970s, the comedy team, we shouldn't say comedy team. I should say the very serious dramatic team of Tom Savino and Frank Idolo, or Frank Idolo and Tom Savino. It was said so many different orders. Well, there can only be two orders, right? My name first, his name second, his name first. My name second. And we're going to have tons of stuff. It's been refurbished, and we'll have credits for those people who did that through the courtesy of Mr. Savino doing some of the production himself, me providing them with the tapes, which were dug up somewhere after years and years and decades of years and decades of isolation. And you're going to hear that. So a lot of the people who have been doing any kind of radio, especially, like I said, it's going to be, I don't know how many years, 19, 20 years of 21 years, 22 years of 23 years, maybe, of internet. No, 25 years, maybe. I don't know. I lost count of internet radio broadcasting. But like I said, it'll be 12 years. We're going through the SRN MediaWorks server. Before that, of course, we were on TimeSpot. I do that. You know, if the word doesn't come to me, my subconscious just throws out, you know, vowels and sounds and syllables. Ampcast.com is the name of the device. We're on Ampcast.com from whence we came with this show, which was the first. You hear that, guys? They know who I'm talking to. You shouldn't do that on radio. You shouldn't do specific things. You're my audience. We're talking one-to-one, you and I, even if there's 10 of you. 20 of you, 30 of you at any given time. So I shouldn't, you know, send out secret messages. I'm not going to. I'm not going to Let's just move on. I'm telling you that December, we got the birthday show. We got maybe Tom Savino coming back and a whole bunch of things going on. So that's a good thing to do. You've covered that, covered this, and covered the dead air. So we cross this out. That's right. I got to write it down because I will neglect one thing or two without knowing it. And later on, I'll go, did I? And then, you know, then I'll think I said it and I didn't, or I didn't say it and think I did. I don't know. What does that come with? The matter of my age, by the way, because it's my birthday, doesn't mean much. And it shouldn't. I really don't sound much different. Although at one time I did. What that mean? I don't know. But listen, speaking of the past, part of what I'm going to do tonight when I'm not talking about the things that I'll be talking about, which I might even know about right now, an idea. And what is it? It's like, what? You know, does it sound like I'm talking to myself? Do you do that? Do you talk to yourself? Because I do. And when I do this show and I do the shows alone in this, as I do old school, where there's nothing but the theme, and then you and I, and then the rest of the hours go by. We're going to go back to, and I'll tell you why I thought of this particular one. We're going to do a classic. We're going to do a session in this particular show. We're going to go back to December. No, that's not December. It's January 15th, 2009. It's strange because that didn't sound so long ago until I did the math, right? I mean, 2009, what's the big deal? That's not like an oldie. You bet your side-winding saddle cloth it is a long time ago because that's, look, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6. We're talking 9 years ago. 9 years ago. I'm going to go back to a show I did when it was one of these old school shows, although don't know, there might be some assistance with, I don't know, I don't remember the show at all, but I liked the idea of the show. It was why do people argue? That was the main idea. And, you know, when I do things like that, because I don't have any letters after my name. Why would I have letters after my name, right? Because, you know, I'm not a man of letters in that respect. I'm not a PhD. I'm not a DR or an Esquire, which, you know, I don't have that. I'm just Francatolo. I'm not even a junior. I'm not even a second. You know, I don't understand that. There are really no seconds, right? Because there's the man's name. There's John Smith. Then there's John Smith Jr., who would also be the second, but he would call himself. And then you start with the third. The next one can't be a junior or a sub-junior. They never need, it would be the third. So it's John Smith, John Smith Jr., John Smith the third. You never become a second, if that is indeed how it works. But I have no names after, so I don't know. When I come at these things, I come at them usually from a particular article I've read that I interpret and read for the first time when I'm on the air, and then discuss and comment. Never with an agenda. Because I'm not one of those people. And, boy. But I got this idea of using this specific show to put it in the middle here. I don't even know how long it lasts, but it'll be around. We'll have it, and you'll hear it. I don't know how much different I sound, or it doesn't matter. But it's a good topic, and I had it because there was so much arguing going on in talk radio, and I was involved in a panel. Was it this week? Yes, it was this week through the services of Mr. Services? Through the, what would it be? What would it, the hosting of Jiggy Jaguar? We all know. My good friend, my longtime friend, he says, my longtime friend, Radio Club Paul Foss. Anyway, Jig Newton, he's finding different titles for him. Jig Newton, Jigmund Freud, you know, Jiggy, I don't know, well, whatever. You make up your own. And there was a lot of arguing going on, and it was all based upon me. I'm not going to go into this or what have you, but it's been a very strange week in American history. And I took part in the changing of the guard on radio. There's two different things, you know, what actually happens and how it's reported. There wasn't enough reporting going on. I had to get involved with this, but I thank Jiggy for it. But I'm the reason the arguing ensued on this, and then another person came on. He did a little arguing, not much. He just said he decided to leave, so he left. And I, of course, being the crippled, emotionally crippled. Now, I'm not emotionally crippled. No, it's all that got around. What I mean is there's something crippled about me in terms of my feeling. I handle it. I deal with it. I tolerate it. And I'm productive because of it. However, there are certain things that happen. And I have feelings. Everyone does this. You're human. We all have feelings, okay? But I had the feeling that I was the cause of the arguments, you know, even though this other guy came on. But I also lifted it up. But I mean, I think the arguments. And then, you know, when I listen to other things and I see other things on the telly, that's what they used to call it in England. The telly. We used to call it like, you know, like it was called, like it was years before I got there, they were calling it the telly. And who knows what they're calling it now? The tube, the telly, the tubi. But this, anyway, I'm gonna put that show, part of that show, the part where I talk about, at least I think so. I mean, I could go ahead on, what, did I write it down here? Yeah, I go ahead 21 minutes into the show, and I think that's where I talk about, it's either where I talk about talking about it, because as you know, it takes a while, if you do know, if you have been listening, and if you continue to listen, that if we have a topic, we start it after we do some other things and talking and pushing books and stuff, and then what happens is we start to talk about the issue, and then issue or the topic or the subject or whatever, the category, I don't know, whatever it might be, and then we move on, and that takes us into various other places. Because this is a show where, as I said many times before, and I'll say it again, I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. So open up that mic and listen to me, Frank Cotolo. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and it's Y2K plus 16. As I said, and it's flying. Also, I have a reminder here that one of these days, if not this year, then going into next year, because I don't have any plans of retiring from this show yet. And some of you glad to know that, others don't care. I think that's the those are the categories. The ones who go, oh, if I were to retire, if I were to leave, the ones who would, oh, and even those, they would, you know, their lives would go on, and the next week would, and it would be like I was never here. They might remember one or two things over 23 years. I don't know. And then the other ones just don't care. So it doesn't matter. And then they'd forget, and then whatever. See, there's no service charge, and there's no service, and there's no agenda, and I'm not trying to tell anyone anything. I only know. Stop it, Frank. I was trying desperately to stay away from the subject of what happened on radio this week with me, Frank Cotolo. So I am, and I am. I'm staying away from it. I'm going bye-bye. There was also, I had a choices of doing 2008, 2 in 2009 that I was going to play. But we're going to do every now and then these classic Cotolo segments, which will take you back. Yeah, and I'll tell you why we're going to do this, okay? There's nothing to do with me taking a break or having to go to the bathroom or just moving as opposed to playing a repeat. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with me doing fresh, if you want to call this material, here on the show and introducing new listeners to some of the things we've done in the past, because some of these things are not available. Even if you go to juicedtalk.com, it doesn't go back years upon years upon, I don't think it does. No, it doesn't. Those sites are gone. And Juice Talk only has so much. If you indeed wanted a show that went back to at least to 2007, I don't think we have any others on MP3. The rest are all, first of all, there's, you know, a couple of years gone. Just, we could not do this at one time. Do what? The show? No. Record it. It wasn't. I know. Millennials are sitting out there going, what's he talking about? I'm 25 years old. I could always tape something. They wouldn't say tape. I could always record something on my phone, on my tower, on my hard disk, right? On my mini hard disk or whatever. But wasn't always able to do that. And I remember standing here. And standing. When I started the show, I started doing it standing because I thought for some reason, that I'd feel better. I don't know. It was new territory for me, even though I had been on a brick and mortar radio for years. But this was a whole different thing. What am I saying? I'm saying that. So we're going to play these classic segments, from Cotolo Chronicles. And because some of them are really good, and the people who have only been listening recently will be able to hear some of this stuff. And I think what's great about it is a lot of it's timeless. So if I'm talking about something that, you know, could be brought up today and talked about, not always. And that's what I think. Some of these new shows that that are on the Internet or on YouTube where people literally show their faces and have a background like it's a news show. These people talk about specific things in the news. Most of them consider themselves renegade. And they talk about things that, you know, if it's a year later, who cares? Who cares? Because they don't even care because they're finding new topics to talk about. Now you're saying, aha, but what about you, Frank Cotolo? What about you? Well, sometimes I do things and talk about things, categories, subjects, topics, whatever you want to call it. You could put it in a time capsule and play it for someone. If they didn't know it came out of a time capsule, they would say, well, where's that? Can I listen to that? Is that on? Because what I'm talking about is doesn't necessarily pertain to something happening in the news in the current present time. So, I've never really wanted to do that. We did start off this show, not today, when we start literally No, exactly started, definingly started it off from the beginning when we didn't even have a theme. In fact, when I started the show, I said from Ice Cap to Ice Cap from Hamilton City, that was the opening of the show. And it always ended the same way, the words that I can't say. When the theme comes out, I can't say them during the show, otherwise the show will go off. There's six words that I say at the end of every single show for as long as I've been here. And we've already decided we don't even know exactly how many years. But in any event, in all events, and certainly this event, we're going to be doing that. And I'll go along with it. And, you know, if I have to stop it and play it again. But it's okay. You'll just get a taste. If you hear anything in there that is timely, referring to things that only pertain to 2009, then, you'll know. Unless you have no idea what happened in 2009. So, but you don't listen to old news shows or what have you. Now, the other, I thought was interesting, this week came up in the new Rolling Stone magazine. The Rolling Stone magazine, my friends. The Rolling Stone magazine, which is now just the writing's, you know, still very well written and what have you, but it is a version of its former self. Hey, we all change. And except for some of the articles which have to do with people who are still in the Rolling Stone because they didn't die, still involved in pop culture from back then when it was spawned from our good friend, the late, great Paul Williams, Crawdaddy, and turned into Rolling Stone. There is a large article. Large article? No, that would mean no. It's a long article. No, it's not even that long. It's two pages. Why did it seem like it was so long? This has to do with, and this is an angle I haven't heard or read about other than here. Even, there just wasn't a lot of writing about this, but when Bob Dylan received the Nobel Prize for his work as a poet or lyricist, he did, and it's funny, not funny, you know, I mean, they don't mention in here an entire book of prose poetry that he wrote. I'm sure if this was his sole work, this was his body of work, a book, which I don't even know you can get anymore, even if you go to Amazon, a book called Tarantula, or is it Tarantula or Tarantula? See, that's how they said it in Brooklyn, New York. Tarantula, chella, chella, tarantula. And of course, tarantula is of, in Italian, la tarantella. L? Is it la? Tarantella. Tarantella. Which is a song that was written, because back in the days when Italians, or some Italians do this now, but of course they didn't. You know, they used to, go into these big vats and crush the grapes to make wine. And in Italy, or Italy, as they say in Brooklyn, New York, in Italy, there were tarantulas out in the farms. I don't know why. I have no idea. I don't understand this at all. Perhaps maybe it was really south or closer, the part of it that's closer to Africa. I don't know. Get yourself tarantulas are indigenous to Africa. I don't know much about tarantulas, to be honest with you, but I do know that the Italians wrote this song about stepping on tarantulas. That's what we're talking about when we talked about the tarantella. Now, I don't usually do this, but I wonder if I could get, because we're doing an old school show, let's see if I can get this, and this is, see what I'm saying? Went down a rabbit hole. I'm going to get back to the Bob Dylan thing in a second, but I want to tell you about this, tarantella. Let's tarantella. I don't even know, tarantella. The dance, the tarantella dance. Maybe you've heard this. I don't know. Let's see. Tarantella dance. Oh, there's a whole bunch of these things here on the Google. Let's see. First dance and no, we don't want the first dance. We want the tarantella. Foreign folk. Jeez, I don't even know. What would you do? Tarantella spider dance. Let's do this here. I hope it doesn't go. Let's make sure there's not a commercial. Yeah, there is a commercial. Then we'll skip it. But if you've never heard this before, it's a very popular Italian piece of music. And it was written because, as I said, they used to stomp on the grapes in these big vats. I mean, vats that were big enough to hold two or three people. Barefoot, stepping on the grapes. I know, doesn't that, you know? I can imagine my grandfather saying, "It helped to give it a little bit more flavor." Because they, you know, what are you going to do? You can't with shoes. I mean, shoes get dirty. You're on bare, clean, bare feet, stomping on the grapes. And once in a while, a tarantula would get in there. I don't know why, and I don't know if this is a legend or what have you, but they wrote this particular piece of music, the tarantella, which means tarantula, which is the name of the Bob Dylan book that he would never have won a Nobel Prize for writing. And here, so that's the history of this whole thing. And it's not about a tarantula either, that particular book, but we're not even going to go into that. We're going to go to this. Let's see. Have you ever heard this? Let's see. Wait a second. Here is, oh, it says the myth. The myth is, okay. Oh, this, you can't see this. People dancing. Where is it? This isn't a dance. I'm going to have to move ahead here.
This has been my vision for many years.
Hey, I don't want to.
Unrequited love.
I don't want you to tell
our
me about
show begins,
it. This isn't
spider
even.
Woman. In theory destroys.
I can't believe this is the. This is what I know. Oh, this is stupid. Now, this is stupid. Where, what's it? Here. I got to find this. Let me do this. I thought it was going to be the one. Tarantella Napolitana? Siciliana? Apparently, Napolitana. Maybe that has some. Maybe Napolitana is the song. Do I have to do another commercial here now or what? No. Here we go. This is it. I guess this is a Napolitana. Now, why this song? Why this particular piece of music? Oh, I guess I could now see it. I guess I could always see it. Stepping. It's a dance. And could you imagine how disgusting? They must have had to shovel out those particular grapes. Because once you step on a spider, especially the tarantula, this has got a big back, a big hairy back. If you crush it, there's incredible pussy blood crap comes out. Pussy, there's another song for pussy blood crap, if you look that up. Has anyone ever heard this? Let me see a show of hands. As a musician, when I used to play Italian weddings, we had to play this song all the time. Because everybody had to do the dance. Not that there were spiders inside the hall. It was just tradition. But apparently this is Tarantella Napolitana, which is a Napoli, which is, I'm not Napolitano. Am I Napolitano? What am I? I'm, Naples. So Naples and Napolitano, right? Am I from up there? I guess so. I guess something like that. Okay. It goes on for a while. They go, okay. So now here's the point I'm trying to make. And that is, that's what tarantula, mean in Italian, tarantella. Okay. So that book, and if you want to look it up anywhere, you'll find out. It's not even, it's like a prose poem. I don't know what it's about. No one seems to know what it's about. Of course, no one seems to know what some of these songs are about either that he wrote, that he gets the award, this incredible award for writing these lyrics. But anyway, what I found interesting in this particular Rolling Stone article about it were the people who thought it was a sham to give a pop music guy. I'm going to call him folk music pop. It's pop music. I mean, that's it. And, you know, he's Rolling Stone. I don't see any other poet laureates. That's not it. No, I don't see any Nobel Peace Prize guys. I don't see any Nobel Peace Prize or Nobel Literature Prizes in Rolling Stone. In fact, when it was announced and he was at that desert thing where those old rock stars were playing a couple of weeks ago, anyway, just big rock concert. as Mick Jagger had said, you know, we were never on stage and played and in the same show with a poet, a Nobel Peace Prize. Not Peace Prize. It's not. It's Nobel Prize for Literature. They never did. And they're never getting one, no matter what. And he may be the first one who got it. So, in other words, you know, Cole Porter, if you think about it, and if you know anything about it, there's a guy should have gotten a prize for literature if we're going to give rock lyricists Nobel Prizes for Literature. He should have gotten one. Cole Porter, incredible lyrics. Chuck Berry. And if you go to juicetalk.com, you can get last week's show where we talked about, Mr. Dylan was, of course, on part of the subject because we talked about the death of rock and roll. So he pops up in here now and then because I guess I feel guilty for something that happened between us many years ago. But no, I don't. I don't feel guilty at all about it. What I mean is there's always something, it seems to be something interesting, and I hate that word. There always seems to be something fascinating in the world of pop culture related to him. But here's what went on in this article. The quotes from people who thought it was ridiculous. These are people who probably wanted to get the award, and they're just authors. And I thought these were funny. Okay, here is the first person. He's invited to a presentation in Sweden on the 10th of December, 2 days after the birthday show Cthulhu Chronicles for this 2016. But here, the decision to give the Nobel to a songwriter doesn't sit well in some literary circles. This was bound to happen. You didn't think everybody was going to stand up and cheer, did you? Or whatever. So listen to this, because I'll be telling it to you, and you're going to hear it shortly, shortly being just about now. On Twitter, and that's funny too, a Scottish writer, and what does he do? He comments on Twitter, because that's what you do now, you know, and that is part of the, like, that is part of the communication world. And you get it immediately out there. If you don't have followers, doesn't matter anyway. Nobody hears it. And so many things are going on that it just flies. It goes on to your thread there. Anyway, on Twitter, a Scottish writer, Irvine Welsh, called this prize awarding to Bob Dylan for Nobel Prize in Literature. He called it, you ready? Quote, ill-conceived nostalgia award wrenched from the rancid prostates of senile, glibbering hippies. Unquote. I'm not going to, obviously you can count. It's obviously 120 characters. It's a Twitter. It's a tweet. It's a tweet on a Twitter. Let me give that to you again. This is the quote. Scottish writer Irvine Welsh called the award being given to Bob Dylan. Well, wait a second. Hey, you know what that means? Before I reread it, there's another re. Before I read it again, let's all get some water or some kind of beverage so we can replenish our precious bodily fluids. This is very important. Another hour and a half of talking. Although when we play the classic, I get a little break there. Natural spring water. We went through that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? What the hell are they talking about? Where does this water originate? We all need to replenish our precious bodily fluids. Even if you're listening and you're not talking. By the way, you can talk back to me. I should do one whole show. You know, see, here I go in another rabbit hole. I'll get back to repeating that. I'll get back. See, I get stuck. Like Billy Pilgrim in Slaughterhouse-Five got stuck in time and then wound up in another era or what have you. I get stuck in moments. So I, you know, I hear something, I delve myself right into that. That's the secret of life, by the way. So if you're wondering and looking and searching, that's it. I called him Irving. Why? Because, you know, that's what I've never met a man named Irvine. There were a lot of Irvings in my neighborhood growing up because they were, that's a Jewish name, plenty of them. In fact, the guy who owned the grocery store on the corner of 58th Street and 18th Avenue, his name was Irving. Never knew his last name. That's not true. Someone must have said it. Someone in my family, someone, a friend or what have you, must have said it. But he was known simply as Irving. I could see this guy. Isn't that amazing? The things, because I'm talking about, you know, a place where I grew up between zero and what was that? And nearly 10. So for a decade, Irving's grocery store. This guy's name is Irvine. Irvine Welsh called, giving Bob Dylan, he said, it's an ill-conceived nostalgia award wrenched from the rancid prostates of senile, gibbering hippies. Hey, I'm not crazy about my generation either, but that's a little, this is what I mean. You people who listen to the show know this, and you people who don't listen to the show are about to find out. And that is when I read something or something and the certain things step out of the sentence. In other words, can a prostate, which is a gland, I believe even female, but you know, it's a prostate, this very important gland to a male by Rod Serling. Bum, 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 bum. Doesn't it sound like a play, a Twilight Zone play? Okay. How can a prostate become rancid? Rancid is an adjective usually used, as I know it in the English language, as with orange juice. You know certain words which have use in so many different sentences, certainly adjectives, right? And yet they become firmly associated with one specific use, rancid. Ooh, because sometime when I was, did you ever taste rancid orange juice? When an orange juice, okay, now, that has to do with taste. Rancid has to do with taste, I believe. Who's eating prostates? Right? A rancid prostate? Is that because, wait a second, I'm thinking this through. Rancid may have something to do with the liquid because, and of course the prostate has to do with liquid. For gosh sakes, you talk about precious bodily fluids. So rancid would be let's look it up. Take out the old dictionary. By old dictionary, I mean old dictionary. What I said was before, what I was saying was, you know, you could talk back to me on this. And I did a couple of segments many years ago where I talked and let you talk. Now, because I couldn't hear you, we couldn't have a conversation that stood up as a conversation. But I did. Allow you to talk. You can talk anyway. Like here, I said, you know, right now, I said, I'm looking up the word rancid to see if it fits. I mean, if it doesn't, think about this. If it doesn't fit, then who is this guy to talk about Bob Dylan not getting a literature award? If this guy misuses the adjective rancid, who is Irvine, as I call him Irving? Who is he to make such a comment, huh? LNMOP. I'm doing it again. QRS time. Rancid. Here's rat. Imagine somebody who, I guess if you don't speak the language, you have to use a American dictionary. This, of course, is Webster's New American Dictionary, and the word new can be contested here because it's from 1960. It's by my favorite publishing company, Books Incorporated. Books Incorporated. I don't need to do that routine again. What should we call the company, Ed? I'm on Books. Here's Rancor, Rankle, Rancid. Rancid should be above there. Ranger. Rare? Ronnie? What's Ronnie? Adjective. Oh, no, that's Rangy. Rani, the wife of a Raja. The wife of a Raja is a Rani. Rani, 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 I'll never go. That was, I want a brief rendition of Rani by the Four Seasons, including the drum roll. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Rancid, R-A-N, let's see, because we're going to catch this guy. Rancid, here we go. Ah, it doesn't just have to do with one sense. Rancid, having the rank, smell, or taste of spoiled fat. As this butter is rancid. Hey, they use... the new Oxford Dictionary, not new anymore because 1960, this Oxford says, uses rancid with butter. I don't know if I've ever tasted rancid butter. In 1960, may have been around the time I learned the word. Who knows? But it's taste or smell. So, I don't know about Irvine here. And who smells a prostate? Perhaps some of the liquid that comes after filtered from a prostate could make it rancid. That was the last word. I would have said enlarged or ballooned or something that has to do with size, but not him. Okay. That's not even the last comment. But that's tough. Now, let's go to Gary. Oh, Gary Steingard. Steingard. And that's not A-A-R-D like it's Norwegian. It's just A-R-D-T. Sarcastically tweeted. He tweeted this guy. He doesn't even say, you know, a writer. This is just the right. Okay. This guy tweeted, I quote, "I totally get the Nobel Committee. Reading books is hard." Reading Tarantula was hard. I don't think I got through the whole book. Did you even know that book existed? It did. He wrote that book. It came out and everyone went, "Oh, a book by Bob Dylan. Oh my goodness. A book with words." And he said, "Words all right." And a lot of pages and all, I don't know what but it was one of those exercises in writing. It's petty envy, says Ronald Sharp, an English professor at Vassar College who has analyzed the Dylan's poetry in his classes. Now, remember, well, you have to assume the lyric is poetry. See, and you can, of course, read Dylan's lyrics, and it will read differently and more image and maybe abstract and maybe differently. A lot of it, not all of it. Some of it's just a ripoff from Hank Williams, for gosh sakes. For Gardner Sykes. I say ripoff. And, you know, I never liked that term. That's a 60s term. Ripoff. That's a ripoff. You ripped it off. And to use plagiarism is, I'm not going to get into the history of Bob Dylan. I just want to show you this because I hadn't heard this. But this guy said that they feel Dylan's already had his fame. How about us? It denies the obvious brilliance and pervasiveness of his creativity. That's someone defending the Nobel Prize in Literature to Mr. Robert Zimmerman. Bobby Dylan. Sometimes when you use Bobby, it doesn't work, right? Bob. Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. You're so groovy. Groovy's another word, man. Groovy. And yet, in the 50s, and in jazz music, groove was the word. It's the people... it's the 60s generation. It is the hippie generation. The ones who now have the rancid prostates. They put the Y there, made groovy, as opposed to a groove. You're in the groove, Jackson. That's a reference to something you don't know or you know. But That was the change of that word. See, generations are generations. Things have roots and they go back. You know, groove was a jazz and 40s jazz term. But groove, you're in a groove. Records, of course, in the old days. Oh, wow. Yeah. People know about records? How many people know about records? Let me see a show of hands. Let me see a show of feet. Let me see a show of ears. The root of groovy is groove. Records have grooves. The needle goes into the record. And I think that's why jazz guys and guys who were doing not just big band jazz and what was that called? Someone called rock. It wasn't rock, obviously. It was beat. No, it wasn't beat either. Beat was 50s. That was it was called the whatever. Swing, of course. Swing. Whoa. Swing, rock, jazz, that stuff, groove. It's just, you get this beat. It related more to a beat, which is where, of course, beat came from. Beatnik, Beatles, 60s, LSD, and then it's all over. And then it's over. And there's a quick and concise history of music through the generations of the 1900s. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of this show. And before we get to the top of the next hour, let me, I'm going to do this anyway. I will move aside for a second and tell you where to get the books. And I'll tell you also why this is really on my mind. First of all, thank you to those who have been buying. Thank you. Why do I keep that on? Because, you know, there's no way of turning off certain sounds and things. And you know what? You have any idea what just came over? No, you don't know either. My reward inside from Kmart. Oh, yeah. Well, we leave that on. Don't let that bother you. And I'm sure it doesn't. The books. Thank you for those of you going to Amazon. For some reason or another, and I don't know why, no one can ever measure the true motivation for, not motivation, reason, reason, let's use reason, why one thing, any noun, any person, place, or thing is more popular than another. But for the books that I have on Amazon, that is for sale on Amazon, Sweet Shepherd seems to be the most popular. That's odd for one reason to me, and that is because it's not a comedy. It's a serious book. It's the first. It's a novella, which means it's not a long book, not a novel. It's shorter than a novel is a novella. It's a tarantula. If you want to get the book and stomp on it, it'll be a novella. Forget it. Look. Hey, look. Look. Listen. I like it. I would never release anything I didn't like, but it's not available in hard copy at all. The books on Amazon, written by Frank Cotolo, that's the most popular. I don't know why people don't buy the other ones. For a while, people bought License to Skill, which is other, but that's also, that might be a novel. It's very long. It's not very long. It's certainly longer than, it's not a novella, so it's got to be a novel. And the other one, which I wrote, it started out as one article in 4Culture magazine, which has become just 4Culture.com, where you can also get and read online stories that I write, articles and stories that I write. But when it was a magazine, a visual digital magazine, which of course could be printed, but who was going to go through all that? It was beautiful. Okay. When it was, and I wrote for it. Well, what I did was I started an article called Man of La Mancha for that magazine, because I was in it every month. And I, you know, this was like really going to be long. I knew it was going to be longer than an article. I get one page, you know, or two pages, the most I got. I would have to split an article into two, part one and part two, if it was longer. So I said, why don't I just make this into a book? I'll finish writing it as a novella, and then stick it on my Amazon menu and let people buy it and then take the proceeds and send it to 4Culture to help them stay alive. Okay. And it's a good one. It's got a great review on there too. A review from a professor in Spanish literature. Speaking of which, okay, I'm never going to get a Nobel Prize for this, but I mean, this is a professor, a man who teaches, speaks other languages and teaches Spanish literature. Why would he have any connection to a book in English that is not really a serious? It's a dramedy. I hate when they put those words together, and yet I just did. It's a comedy, but it has a drama, but it's funny, but blah, blah, blah. But it is a version, it follows the themes, and it's a comic, not a comic version, it's not like a Mel Brooks version of Don Quixote, but the themes of the classic, the Spanish classic Cervantes, Don Quixote. So if you read that particular review, you might want to buy it, and you know that you're contributing to the life of a cutting edge website and magazine, digital magazine. Cause it's still, you could still go forculture.com. Okay. So, and yet I don't know why that's not, it has not really taken off. Okay. And yet Sweet Shepherd it sold so many by comparison to the other ones. All right. And, it's serious, Sweet Shepherd. And good, it's a good series, and you could read reviews on there by readers, okay? It's my first. My second one is totally under wraps, which I can tell you officially I ended today after 2 years of research and writing and rewriting and fixing and whatever. I'm not going to go into that. I'm not even going to tell you the title because we're going to be shopping it. So that, and if it comes out and it really is the sensational how do you write a phenomenon? I didn't sit back to write a phenomenon. I sat back to write this thing I'm not going to say anything more because it's not even available. Let's talk about the ones that are available. Okay. So the digital books, on Amazon.com, Francatolo is the name that I use because it's my name and I get the byline for the books I write. And then you could go to blurb.com where you can get the two Molotov memoirs, which is a collection of stories that are accompanied by the fabulous. Should I use that word? I don't feel like the artist owns that word now. So the sensational T. Stephen Gesick design and illustrations, which complement the stories, which are funny. And they are, by the way, it's a style, that is not necessarily new, but, it's something that is not done a lot, and it blends real people and real people I have known, and some of them are celebrities, with things that happened in my life, memoirs, get it? Along with some made up stuff. And this comes way before Norm Crosby's book, which is already not being talked about. And I just gave it a plug on top of that. No, so what I want you to do is go to the window. Go to blurb.com. Now they're available in digital and in analog, which is hard copy. And it's very expensive in hard copy because they don't make a billion of them, and then they can charge like $20.95 for each hard. They don't do that. If you want a hard copy, they have to print one. If you want two, they have to print two, and then you get discounts for what have you. Okay, so you can get those more Molotov memoirs, the original, and more Molotov memoirs, which is the second, in both digital and analog hard copy. Lulu.com has more inexpensive books if you want them. I don't know what you call that. They're kind of like, they used to call it, in small press, they used to call it you could get hard copy or you could get digital very cheap, the digitals. I mean, cheaper than the ones on Amazon, which top at $2.99. Come on, $2.99? Really? And these are like, I think, $1.25 more now. If you want to get the digitals, there are three books. Funnies. all funnies, all separate stories. They're not connected. They're not novels or one big story, what have you. That is available at lulu.com. That's the scope of the stops. That's a stop. When you get on the Cotolo train and you drive to where the Cotolo books and literature, whatever you want to call it, comedy or what have you, written material, let's just call it written material. You want to get on the Cotolo train and get on the tracks, you get to next stop, lulu.com. You stop there, pick up a couple of Cotolo digitals, and maybe because it's cheaper, you pick up one or two hard copies, you know, and then if you want to buy 12, because hey, Christmas is coming, you know, and that means gifts. These are good for gifts too. Everybody has a phone. And you can read these things on your phone if you get the digital versions, the cheap ones. The most expensive digital version, I believe, of a book, although there are no other of it, but the Amazon's, blurb.com, the Molotov memoirs are, I think, $5.99. That's as cheap as they get. But they're great because, you know, you get those special pictures. The other ones just get words and stuff. These pictures, T. Stephan Gesick pictures are terrific. This is T. Stephan Gesick from MTV. MTV television is redundant, but I am being redundant. MTV, music television. Yeah, and from Tosh.O, right? Is that Tosh? Yeah, doing that set design for years and stuff. So anyway, that's what you could do. And you go on the train, stop, next stop, blurb.com. There's other stuff on there too if you want to buy it. I mean, I'm not going to stop you, right? I just want you to buy my stuff. And you might, the Molotov memoir books with Stephan Gesick, they're worth it for the artwork alone. And one of these days, he's going to pop like I am. I mean, he's even younger than me. And I'm still going to pop into, and I'm telling you. But anyway, this guy, nothing over yet here, kids. I don't care. My hallelujah, I'm all walking along that hallelujah trail I haven't even talked about again in this explanation or whatever it is I wrote on the blog. You go there. It's a long commercial, but what the hell, right? Because it's all involving great pop culture. And me, who has done this show for, as I said, maybe 25, 26, 27, 28 years. You count them. You make it. Maybe sounds like or feels like 500 years. I don't know. I'm just saying this. And I'm not going to get rich off of these books, but I want to give you the enjoyment. I may say, well, then why didn't you just put them up there for free, Frank? Hey, I gave plenty of things for free, including this show, which goes back 25 years, and nobody ever had to pay a dime just to hear this show. Nobody ever had to give me their email so that I could send them things. Never use this show as a lost leader. I am a lost leader with L-E-A-D-E-R. That's, you know, so that's what I'm saying. Now, where was the train? It was on its way to Amazon. Last stop on the Cotolo digital material. It's Amazon. For sale. Right, left. Sweet Shepherd. License to Skill. And Man of La Mancha. And more. And remember that one? Remember that from the cartoons? The elevator would go up. Second floor, locks, stocks, and lingerie. Apparently, you don't have cartoon culture in your head from classic cartoons. In any event, in all event, and certainly in this event, my name is Frank Cotolo. Go get the books and think about using those for gifts come your holiday time, which will be coming up. And by the way, also on holiday time, while we're talking about holiday time, coming up in two other shows, is Thanksgiving night. You know, if you have Thanksgiving with your family, without your family, with just a friend or two friends or just your pet, or you don't have a pet or your goldfish or your turtles. Does anybody keep turtles in the house anymore? You would can spend the evening digesting with me, Frank Cotolo. I do not do theme shows. So it's not like, and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. It's beginnings, it's roots. No, it's just going to be another show. We might have a guest. We might not have a guest. I may read articles and talk about pop culture. I may do anything, but it's always going to be something not done anywhere else on internet broadcasting or on regular broadcasting or on YouTube shows or on the 15 shows that Jiggy Jaguar broadcasts. How many shows does this guy have on in the air? No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be a Cotolo Chronicles, maybe. Excuse me. That's my You know what's coming up? My chicken corn chowder with extra chicken. I add on, you know what I do? I add into soups, bulky soups. I add stuff. If it's meat, meat soup, I put more meat in it. I don't just eat the soup that comes out of the can. And that's my, and that, by the way, is my new logo and the name of my new book. I'm writing this one down in my title books. My book of titles may be coming out soon. I don't just eat the meat that comes in the can. It's the top of the second hour. My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Should I run the theme for the second hour? No, we haven't even begun to talk about what I was going to. Let's look for a second. I'm going to look for a second here too. I'm going to go to my blog, Cotolo Chronicles dot blog spot. This is a new hard drive and everything. As I mentioned a couple of whiles ago. How long is a while? Cotolo Chronicles dot blog spot dot com. Visit. Okay. Blog not found. How is that possible? Did I spell it wrong? Do I have to do HTTPS here? How can that not be found? Why am I going here? Because I want to see what I wrote. HTTP, colon, bop, bop. Now let's go there. Uh-oh, it's bold. It must be here. Blog found? Yes. Blog not found. How is this possible? How is this possible? Chronicles.blogspot.com. How is this possible that on Mozilla it is not found? Sorry, the blog you were looking for does not exist. This is like not true. This is not true. Okay, I'm going to go www.cotolochronicles.blogspot.com. Blog not found. Help. Oh, we're having a whole new experience here. Does not exist. Of course it exists. You know what? I don't want to go to Facebook and then click and click and click. I get Cotolo Chronicles. That's it. .blogspot. This is amazing to me because here I register. I'm not registering anything. Help center. This is amazing. I don't want to get started. I want to find this blog. Don't want to be crazy. Do I know it? Maybe because I have to have the HT. Does it have to be an S? HTTPS? Cotolo Chronicles, Cotolo Chronicles dot blogspot dot com. Do you second guess yourself as much as I do in life? Because I do. I put this up. Com. These stupid letters are disappearing. And now I found it. This is crazy. Okay. and here comes another piece of mail which has nothing to do with anything we need right now. I can't believe that. Ah, Dada Mencia with the SIC on it, which means read it, that's correct, as it is written. Dada Mencia along the trail. We was going to talk about the Hallelujah Trail, which many, and a lot of people don't understand. I've done a couple of shows about it through the years, but the Hallelujah Trail simply is the road into a present state that continually changes as life, just like life. And it is the great transformation into the digital aspect of lives, which did not exist when it was analog. So the Hallelujah Trail began. It started when this digital thing started to creep into every portion of our lives and changed the world in such a way that it really assisted in this thing they call now globalization, which everyone is fighting against. And my idea, everyone, not everyone, so many people fighting against, you've heard about Brexit. Now I'm getting current. You've heard about Brexit in England. And how countries are trying to get more nationalistic and not globalistic. The nationalization as opposed to global, because they want to just not be a part of the globe. They want to have borders, okay? So one of the reasons they're fighting to get national boundaries back and preserve national, what they believe, or national values – which of course change from culture to culture and country to country. The reason they're doing that is because it is, the world is melding, because of digital. If this digital platform did not come along, there would be nothing anymore. So the Hallelujah Trail, of course, is walking along, picking up the knowledge and using the digital platform and adding it to make your life better and going into the future, because you can't leave it. It is part of everyone's future and lifestyle, no matter what language you speak, no matter what country you live, no matter what you do. It's part of the entire human race. It's a tool of the human race now. So the Hallelujah Trail, even though there's this campaign for nationalization, and everybody who doesn't want globalization and nationalization wants to put borders around the using social media and media itself, digital media, which can't happen, because it can't happen. Because in the old days, it would cost you whatever, and you'd have to go through hell and high water to get a phone call to Japan, when today you could do it on IM or MSN, an instant messenger or email, whatever. Okay, so the idea was that because of globalization does not stop the Hallelujah Trail, it doesn't cut it off, it doesn't build the wall in front of it so it can't go any farther, and it doesn't do it. There's no stopping the Hallelujah Trail. We don't know where it ends. But we do know that you have to get on it and you have to move forward. And the whole idea of Dada Mencia along the trail is pop culture and art is changing, and obviously, because time is passing, and because art has changed. Everything has changed. Every category has changed based on the digital world. Computers and the whole thing. Okay, so I'm here, and part of what I wanted to do is I say, don't worry. No matter how old you become, no matter how young you are now, and no matter what you hear out there, and all the people who are fighting or want to just use, they want to isolate for some reason or another, they want to isolate themselves, is what I'm saying. Isolate so that there's different. Something like you have a big Indian reservation, and one guy and one tent, one family in a tent doesn't want to go into the other tent. And we went, we'll be staying in our own family with our own tent. That's like all the tents are our countries. If you want to make it into that particular type, you can make it into a board game, in fact. But you don't have to worry. There's no stopping, is what I'm saying. No stopping the Hallelujah Trail. We're on it. Get on it. Don't walk off of it left or right and sit there, because your life needs to move along with all these changes. And this, remember, I'm saying this from the beginning, and I said in the show 25 years ago when we started this, and we knew more was going to come. We knew that there wouldn't just be word point one, there'd be a word point 25 or whatever, Windows 1, Windows 93, and phones, okay? And Twitter, which you heard about first, if you were listening to this show, and alternative broadcasting, you heard about first here. Facebook, when it began, all this stuff, which has become common in the atmosphere of everybody's lives, okay? But nationalization, if that's what it's called, the opposite of globalization. People trying to stop globalization of humans, which happen to be global. We happen to be all over the earth, my friends, no matter what language we speak or what have you, and this digital platform in many ways has brought us together on many different levels. Now, there are still tribes out there living in the Amazon, very primitive cultures still going on, but they can be in touch if they have an internet, an ISP, a phone, satellite, all this stuff. There's no getting away from this. So what we're saying is the stressless way to survive, and the best way to survive, is to adapt and adopt. and not that. So that's the best definition I have of Battle Lead Trail, which we have started walking upon and called it that from the beginning, because that's what we did. And what? Is there an and what to this? Oh, so don't worry. And one of the things I wanted to say on this particular show is don't worry. Let the people who want to try to stop it, let them expend their energy and do what they got to do for whatever purposes. You be stressless. Don't go, you won't go bald. Some of you may go bald anyway. It's DNA. It has nothing to do with digital. With D, the D in DNA does not mean digital. Don't worry. Every day of your life, and I'm not preaching here. I'm telling you what's going on, and you know what's going on, but I mean, don't worry if these people get on your case about, we need to nationalize, you know, old stuff. What I'm saying is the new stuff, the Hallelujah Trail is going to look differently. Every step we take, every 10 steps we take, every mile we go, it's all going to look different, okay? Because things change. Go with the changes and enjoy them and use them for your own productivity, for your own life, for your own health. Because in every area, there is that. So don't let anybody try to rewind your consciousness. Stay on the Hallelujah Trail. There is no going back. That's the point. It's one way. And the people trying to stop anywhere along the line says, no, we're going to plant ourselves right here now. So we're just going to use this, and this. And we're staying right here with the values that we had before we started the trail. Well, you know, let them stay then. You keep walking. Because to keep walking just means to be in the present. And to be in the present, it's only going to get better. And I'm not trying to blow sunshine up the various entrances of your body or mind. See, that's what I was going to say. And that's data mentia. So that's what you're getting, your data, not data with a T, but you could do that too. You could call it data mentia. I call it data mentia because it has to, you know, it's an artsy way of putting it. There's even a old Dada painting on the cover of the blog, which we now found. I have no idea. And I had no idea why we found that. Okay, but we did. And of course, so this is the affirmation that the Hallelujah Trail has not been blocked or rerouted. You're here. You listen now. And this is the best. The present is your best and sometimes your only friend. Okay, now I've said that. And because of things that have been happening in the world now and still happening right now without my getting particularly detailed. But all this came to my mind this week because of things that really don't matter as much. But man, they get, you know, the world just, people is a herd animal. Have you heard of animals? Of course I have. They're herd animals. And so that's that. And that's why you're getting all these, you'll just get all this content is changing. Content is changing from the internet. And your interweb, as I like to call it. Okay, here's what I'm going to do now. Okay, I'm going to find the Chronicles, Cthulhu Chronicles show from, let me get it here, put it on here. This is a little classic Cthulhu. This will last as long as I want it to. We go back to, the 2000, I'm trying to find the exact 21 something. Well, I'll find it. 2033. What did I say? 2134. I'm going to go to the moment that it try to go. Oh, a little bit more backwards here. It's very, very 2134. Boy, I'm almost exactly there. 2209. No, 2137. Well, if I could just get it back. See, I'm doing that again. I'm stuck in this moment. Let's go before that a little bit. No. 2021, 2153. No, I'm trying to go to 33. That's so close. Yes, this is it. 2134, 2133. I'm going to play this from here and let's see if it goes to that particular section. This is a classic Cthulhu segment now from 2134. 2009, January 15th, 2009, and the show dealt with, you'll see what it
care that much by comparison to Jobs taking, he didn't even say he was leaving, he was taking a leave of absence to take care of his health because there's obviously behavioral processes.
Oh, get on.
Medical processes. And they have to.
Oh, I see. It was 21, not 20. I stopped at 21, 17. Hold on, 21. Come on. Yeah, this is me live again here. 21, 49. No, 21, 17. 21, 49. Why can't I move back? 21, 30. Oh, no, it's 21, Frank. 21.05, 21.37, I'll do it here.
It has nothing to do, and although you can have arguments about stock markets, and money, of course, is
wait
a great
a second,
argument.
Wait a second, I did, yeah, let's go a little bit ahead of it, because it went to, here, 21.49. It would be nice if I could start at that exact point. I'm trying to do this. There's probably a way, digitally. 21.37? No, 21.34. Let's just go like a touchback. Oh boy, it seems 21. How about this, Eric?
We knew know as well as I do.
Here we go.
That you don't need a lot of excuses to have a stock, to have it.
That's me.
These days, this is.
Here goes.
Today, the stock market going below. Oh, no, I'm not. What am I doing? The news? What is this? We're going to talk about tonight something that is timeless. It has nothing to do, and although you can have arguments about stock markets and money, of course, is a great argument. It fosters the word. It launches many arguments between people. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Arguments. Things that just make people bat their heads against one another. All that stuff. It's all coming when Veronica Monet calls up in a matter of seconds.
If you're short, you've got three
Oh, wow. Hold on a second.
One stop, that's the short.
That was, the shortstop. We used to have an advertiser, shortstop.com. No, I haven't checked to see if it was still there. Apparently, Veronica Monet is on this show. Man, it's about arguments with Veronica Monet. She has a website. She has radio people on her too. I haven't had her on in years here. Wonderful, experienced woman, and she deals with, so why do people argue? She was a guest. That's fascinating. I didn't know that was going to happen, but we're going to get her on here. Is that the thing?
Even that. He's half white. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's a strange, 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 strange. It's strange. To me, people don't think of that stuff. I think of that stuff, and I don't make comment about these particular things. You want to listen to that stuff, you go to the radio. You know, and he shows them these things. Well,
I'm looking.
Jew. He shows them a picture of Jew, and the little boy says, "Do they all?"
I'm trying to find where Veronica got on the air here because
that exists at the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything
here comes.
And that's a good toss back to what I was saying about this talk radio stuff and about political opinions and
classic.
And the talk radio, of course. What would it be if it wasn't lousy with opinions? The problem is that every time I turn it on, I listen to the radical rights, so that I am assured that I'm not over there. Make sure I know what they're up to. You know, it's not good. Listen to everyone. Listen to yourself and you'll hear everyone. That's what I've been saying lately, if I have to coin another phrase, and I just did. Listen to yourself and you will hear everyone else. Because if you don't know what you're saying, if you don't know what you're thinking and how you're feeling, then where do you fit in contrast to everyone? And you are in contrast to many. And then those that you are in league with in terms of opinions and feelings and stuff, you will know. But listen to yourself. And I know I sound like an evangelist now. You know what that is, don't you? Let's do it. Ready? Yeah, this is Cotolo Chronicles. This is the Cotolo Chronicles.
Cotolo, do you chronicle or is the Cotolo
Chronicles? It's not the. I am the chronicler. You are the chronically.
Is that right? Well, this is Veronica Monet calling in to give you a rash of you know what.
I know it's you because I was just talking about something, saying like, while she's dialing, if indeed her clock is right, let's talk about. I was just talking a little bit about the arguments, and I was saying because there's no one else here, that you really can't say that you can get into an argument almost over almost anything. You can get into an argument about anything.
Well,
right?
Oftentimes, people who've been in a long-term association with each other actually do that because they've got a backlog of resentments, and they're looking for any excuse to go to bat, as it were.
This is a good point. You're talking about creating an argument for arguments, not necessarily for the topic that exists at the moment.
Oh, absolutely not.
Let's talk about this for a second in terms of how Veronica, of course, is the author of many books, none of which have a secret, have a character which is supposed to be me. But she's
funny, Frank. You want me to write about you? I'm sorry.
I want to be a fictional character in your book. Okay.
So okay.
You just find a good name for. Other people have done that. I believe it or not, I am a fictional character. I am based on.
You know, I'm a fictional character too.
You have characters based upon you in books, right?
Actually, they wasn't fictional, but the story's fictional. Somebody took the time to write some stupid story about me and Bill Clinton. I just kind of thought that was hilarious.
Oh, okay. That's one of those there humorous pieces.
Yeah, except that some people actually believe it. Some guy from India will drop me an email and think it's for real, and I'm like, no, it's not for real.
You know, I do this all the time. My blogs and my stories always flirt with actual, but they go kind of out there. And people say, like, did you really know this guy? Because people do know that I have a history of knowing people. And
yeah.
I get away with this crap, you know. Just for the sake of being funny. That's a poetic license, isn't it?
Well, I guess so. You know, I tend to be a little more legalistic with my version of the truth. But, I don't write fiction. So that's a genre that I just don't understand.
See, I have a concept, and that is that it's all fiction.
Ah.
Yeah, you know, because you know, even history. I mean, I'm getting ready to. I'm not doing this as a plug, but I'm getting ready to release, majorly market and release a book that I wrote. That's pretty much the history of the world. It's called The Complete and Unabridged History of Japan.
Wow! Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Publisher.
Thank you very much. Well, we don't have a publisher yet.
I
said we're getting ready to get it going, get it out.
Yeah, No, I gotcha.
You know, it was serialized on the web for like 700 weeks or something. But any days.
Wow.
Anyway, here's the point.
That's way cool.
Yeah, but here's the point I'm trying to make, and that is it's all kind of fiction. Because, and this may fit into the talk about people arguing because in terms of what people remember. Because nothing is absolute. No memory of anything anyone said or did. We really do have to, if we want to question everything, we can. And we don't know what's true. So therefore, it's all kind of fiction, isn't it?
Well, I understand what you're saying. Mm. It all depends on who's in charge of writing the history, what actually happened. So many blacks have been written out of the history books. Women have been written out of the history books.
Oh, the blacks play a major role in the complete and unabridged history of Japan.
Yeah. Oh.
But anyway, look.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about.
I never know if you're serious, Frank.
You know what? People say that to me too, and I go, "Look, I'm always serious."
Oh.
See, that's the deal. You have to take it as it comes out. I'm always serious. You may laugh at some things I say seriously. So what? Right.
Right.
Yeah. But you've been doing a lot of research, and of course you have a lot of experience with clients and talking to people on a psychological level for all sorts of problems. And the great battle between the sexes, or the war of the words between people who are relatively close and intimate, I know you're going to be working on a book, right, about this soon?
It just all depends on whether the books I've already got in the pipeline take off or not. I thought about that today,
mm-hmm.
Frank. Because you actually were the one who had advised me to write a book about couples who argue, and I was thinking, you know, self-help books might be the only thing that's really going to sell this year because everybody's so, afraid of the economy. And I noticed, as Oprah goes, so goes the world. I hate to admit it, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And this entire month, she's just been, she's got this whole thing on her website, Your Best Life and stuff. And I'm going, okay, so maybe instead of telling my story, from, white trash to high-end escort, what I really should be doing is writing a self-help book for how couples can stop arguing over and over again and fall in love.
You know, the things that that you and I have talked about off broadcasting and stuff like that, having to do with these issues led me to believe that you have another field of expertise, sometimes clouded by the fact that that there's all that that sex history, and yet all that sex history does really have to do with how you grew up and the relationships and the intimacies you had as a child, right?
Well, actually, the sex thing goes deeper than that. I mean, one of the things I think people don't get is that sex is the missing link to a lot of things. Like, how is it that we stop being such a violent culture, and how is it that we can create, a more peaceful society? Well, the only societies that have actually achieved that place a high premium on sexual freedom. And that's,
wow.
That's just a fact.
Well, that's Japan, too.
Oriental. People who don't want to, look at that, which is most of Western society does not want to look at the fact that sex is, like, one of the things we haven't dealt with, like grown-ups. And it is part of my message about mm-hmm. how you can become a more peaceful, nonviolent person. But for those people who are sex-phobic, I have an entire set of tools that don't have to require any kind of sexuality whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to learn how to take responsibility for your own feelings and how to show compassion for your partner. Mm-hmm. Sounds real easy, and almost everybody thinks they're actually doing that,
right.
They're not. And the reason that I know that is because I teach these workshops across the United States, and when people come to my workshops, this is usually their 100th workshop, and, they've got lots and lots of training and how to communicate nonviolently and all this stuff, but there's just some very glaring omissions that isn't getting to people, so that no matter how great things go in the workshop, they go home and they've got that same nonsense all over again. And what I offer actually shifts your home life, not just what's happening in the workshop.
Let's say, let's just take any two people, just templates of people, a man and a woman, could be a man and a man. I don't know. I don't know how to address this anymore, but let's just address it man and woman.
Well, definitely. Okay. I mean, that's, 85-90% of the population.
Yeah. And okay. And even if it's man, woman, roles are separated in a certain way too, right? There's these.
Yeah, it
depends.
Right?
Okay. here's a man and a woman. Now, after the general calamity of romance, breaks into a certain normality, and these two people have committed to one another for loyalty and, one personship and all that. What happens? What's the first thing that happens naturally that makes them realize they're different, no matter how much they like the same things and stuff? What happens in the beginning of a romantic relationship once, like I said, all that other stuff like wears off?
Well, regardless of your gender, the most potent and the most prominent thing that happens in all relationships is you've got about a 2-year window where you are generating buco hormones. So everybody's high. And I literally mean that because, oxytocin is like a heroin-type drug.
Huh?
You've got this hormonal cocktail going on, which just makes you higher than a kite. And every time you see your beloved, you get high. So that's positive reinforcement.
Huh.
And what you do is you can't even see the annoying little habits that they have.
And so
then after about 2 years out, give or take a few months, but for the most part, 2 years is where people kind of get this rude awakening,
mm-hmm.
where all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I had no idea you had such an annoying habit, and what did I ever see in you, and why are we together?
Hey, that's like a ton of bricks right there.
It is.
Now, wait a second. People don't immediately admit to that, do they? Don't they try to, isn't that where some arguments start to surface? Because people don't admit that and they start to just pick at each other?
It depends on the couple. Why do you think a lot of these Hollywood types are only good for 2 years?
Mm.
Some people have a pattern of just going in for 2 years and then they're out. And then they go on to the next 2-year stint, which is why we've got the term serial monogamy now, where people don't actually work any of their issues.
Wow.
And they keep wondering why they keep doing the same thing over and over again. But, some people will stick it out, and I've met those people, too, and there's probably more of them than there are the people who are just doing 2 years at a time. And they will reach this frustration point where they kind of are feeling like, well, I've got to do the right thing. I've got to show up for this relationship whether I want to or not. Or there's other things, like we got the house now. What are we going to do, sell the house? Oh, my God, if we get a divorce, we'll have to split everything. So there's a lot of deterrence if people have actually gotten married, and there's a lot of deterrence even if they've actually moved in.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, if they aren't married, there's fewer deterrence, and so that's why people who live together are more likely to split up and move on.
Yeah, but then you're talking about people who are being rather civil. I'm going to get down to this picking and the arguments. Not so I want to get into that because...
Well, that's a chronic condition that tends to take place the longer people have been together, but not always. Now, here's this other aspect of all relationships, which is that you aren't walking into the relationship just with this other person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you think. You think that's just the two of you when you crawl into bed at night, but it's not. There's actually a whole room full of people, and I'm not talking about sexually transmitted diseases here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about your mother and your father and your aunt and your uncle and then all those other women or men that you have had relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
So you're bringing this whole story that you have about men and women and love and relationships and what does happen, what doesn't happen, what's possible, what's impossible, what you're going to expect out of that other person, what you can't expect out of that other person, what you should expect out of that other person. You bring all this stuff in there. It's really complicated. And it's pretty unfair to the two people that tried to show up innocently enough just to have a happy romance.
Mm-hmm.
So we start projecting our nonsense onto our partners, and there's actually a great book out there called Getting the Love You Want, and it's written by a man named Harville Hendricks. Yes, I'm plugging somebody else's book.
Getting the Love You Want by Harville Hendricks? What's
yes,
name?
Harville Hendricks.
What's that first name? Harville?
Harville.
H-A-R-V-I-L-L-E?
Yep.
Who the hell has a name like Harville?
Oh, he does.
Harville what? Harville what? This guy's got a fake name. Harville what?
Harville Hendricks, just like Jimi Hendrix.
Okay, Harville Hendricks. Maybe it's his brother.
So, yeah, absolutely not. He's Caucasian.
Okay, go ahead.
I read his book about 20 years ago, so it's an old book, but it's an awesome. I guess we'd say, you know, every time somebody comes up with an idea about what's making society work or what makes people tick, you have to at some point kind of call it a theory. Because it hasn't actually been proven. But I love the paradigm that he's working from, which is basically that we pick people who remind us of our parents. Yeah. And unfortunately, for the person that you pick, they don't have to necessarily be exactly like your parent for you to take out your little drama on them.
My God, you know, if that's true, I'm sure glad that doesn't mean physically.
Well, no. But here's the, you know, Freud was the first one to say it. Children do tend to have their first romantic crushes on their opposite gender parent if, in fact, they're heterosexual children.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just a normal, natural. See, what's unnatural is when adults decide to exploit that.
Okay.
So, you know, incest, of course, is an abomination. But as far as little children getting crushes on their mommy and their daddy, that's very innocent,
sure.
And it's very sweet, and it's very normal.
Right. Yeah.
And it happens every day of the week. And you could just see it, you know, when somebody's getting married, a lot of times they pick somebody who's about the same height and weight and body shape as their dad.
Oh, I thought you said
mom.
We weren't going through this physically. I never went through it physically. Thank God I never went through it physically. Because, their parents were great, but... You know, I don't know where my looks came from. I think from my down the line somewhere. Either that.
Well,
oh,
you know,
God rest their souls.
Life, I always dated black men and blondes because I was trying to stay away from my father. I didn't want to date anybody like my dad because I hated my dad.
And then you found out he was really a Negro. Is that what happened?
No. When I fell in love and got married.
Did I say Negro? That's you're not supposed to say that anyway.
I'm so glad I'm not living at your address right now, Frank.
So are a lot of people.
Oh, that's on you, not me.
I didn't say it was on you. Go ahead. What were you saying?
So when I finally, you know, fell in love and decided to get married, It's just one of those things that happens subconsciously. You don't realize what's happening. But when you're looking at the wedding pictures and you all of a sudden realize, oh, my God, this guy I married looks like my dad when he was younger. So that happens a lot. That's really quite normal behavior.
Okay.
And it could be innocent enough, but where the problem comes in is if you've got issues with that parent, then you're probably going to take it out on your new partner.
Yeah.
You're going to, like, have expectations that they're going to let you down in the same way or, you know, irritate you in the same way or hurt you in the same way. And so you may find yourself being a little bit on edge or looking for a fight. The good news about this pattern that most of us have is that you can turn this into a positive. You can turn it into an opportunity to heal those old childhood wounds and move on.
But people need to be aware of this. Aren't they? They're all like kind of automatic, a lot of people.
Oh,
right? And they're not even aware.
This is the problem. People don't spend enough time trying to figure out what's going on between their ears. And because they don't spend enough time trying to figure out what's going on between their ears, they are like a bunch of dumb robots just out there doing what they were programmed to do.
That's right. They're not like smart robots. They're
not
like
even.
Dumb robots.
Not even. They're just banging their head up against the same wall over and over again.
You know the old story?
I keep doing this thing and I can't seem to stop.
That's the great joke I was taught when I was very young. The guy is pounding his head against the wall. And someone goes up and goes, why are you pounding your head against the wall? And he says, because it feels so good when I stop.
Yeah.
that fits perfectly. You'd think with all this wisdom that I grew up getting that I would have had a lot more success myself. But
not true.
It doesn't work that way.
I can't say how many times I've thought with all the information and expertise that I have that I'd be doing better than I am. And I am doing a lot better than my family of origin. I mean,
most
of the people I talk to can't even believe that I could come from the family that I came from because I'm light years away from that. But
let's go back here.
All this subconscious stuff that we all find ourselves going, why do I keep doing this?
So then we're saying we don't realize that we're marrying into a conflict because we don't understand the conflict, which might be parental. That's number one, right?
Right.
So
that's number one. And then number two, of course, is just the fact that you actually had a little bit of a fantasy going on about who you married.
Okay.
Because nature set it up that way to put you in this hormonal bath where you're just basically out of your mind.
What's that hormone called again?
Oxytocin is one of them. It sounds just like the cleaner they advertise on late night TV.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of OxyClean, it's oxytocin.
T-O-S-T-O-C-I-N?
C-I-N.
Yeah, Billy Mays stuff, right?
Oxytocin!
Exactly!
If you call now, I'll give you another batch of it! An extra tube!
Anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Hi, Billy Mays!
So
that's funny.
So you get the so that's the stuff you get. So
oxytocin is a hormone that's released whenever mammals touch each other.
Oh my God!
Absolutely.
I've been getting doses of that.
Well, that's the way you can get a hit of it when you pet a dog. You can get a hit of it.
No, I don't. No, I don't get any hits with animals. I don't get any oxytocin.
Sexual.
I don't get oxytocin.
Oxytocin is not sexual, Frank.
Huh?
It's not sexual.
Yeah, well, I don't even want. Yeah, well, I don't even like animals, anyways.
Okay, fine.
Okay, what is it?
Mammals when they brush
happens?
Up against each other, their bodies immediately start releasing this thing called oxytocin.
Okay, if it's not sexual, then what is it? It's just a warmth of.
It's the
feeling?
Drug that bounds a mother and her child.
Oh, it's the drug.
And it is released during sex as well, but what we would call this is the touch hormone. Well, Not the orgasm hormone, the touch hormone.
Come on, come on, come on, baby. Oxytocin me, babe. Can't you see that I am... It's the touch me.
Yeah.
It's the touch me.
When all you have to do is touch. Just two mammals touch. I've kept some birds, and it doesn't work with birds.
They're not mammals, are they?
They're not. They're basically reptiles.
They're reptiles,
with feathers,
right.
And that's not the way they communicate. And
see, that answers a lot because my second wife was actually a reptile with feathers.
Yeah, I bet. I'm thinking quite a few of your listeners are probably wondering if they might be married to a reptile.
Yeah, it can happen.
I'm sure we've all dated at least one.
Yes. So we get the you get oxytocin a lot. Is that why some people don't like to? You know, really shy away from touching. They don't even realize they're doing it because they just don't want to be. It feels, it's too intimate.
Well, that's usually a cultural thing. I mean, entire countries have different ideas about what's appropriate to touch.
That's true. Yeah.
Not, okay. And also as far as personal space goes.
So can it work the other way? Can you, I mean, you touch somebody and for some reason or another you hate the person? And I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, can you get a negative feeling from this?
Of course you can get a negative feeling, but not from the oxytocin.
Oh, okay.
You'd get a negative feeling because, you know, we read energy and body language and we can figure out that this person actually probably means us harm even though they're smiling.
Yeah, because that guy, the guy who does those late night, I mean, I had a negative experience touching him. I rubbed up against him. That Billy Mays guy. I rubbed against him. It was negative.
Okay, was this while you were helping him clean a carpet or something?
I'm going to give you a whole gallon of oxytocin.
So, no, forget about that. I want to get to the argument now.
All right, let's have an argument.
I'm arguing the point right now. Why do they plant their feet in concrete? I've done this. Everybody's done that. You know, when it comes to an argument, which is like, I'm not letting you win this thing. You're wrong. I'm right, period. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of that stuff is connected to this. Are we really just defending our space and our whole history and our goal? What?
So, yeah, sometimes it is. I can think of, early on in my life, right after I graduated from college, and I really didn't understand a lot of the stuff that was going on with me, obviously, because I was only like 21.
You hadn't figured it out by then?
I hadn't figured it out by then. So, at that young age, I found myself a lot of times drawing the line in the sand, as it were. And so much of that was because I had been forced to do things my father's way, you know, because he was a real authoritarian patriarch and insisted that everything be done his way.
Right.
So I found, you know, it didn't matter who I was talking to, male or female, friend or lover, it didn't really matter. I always had to take this stand and draw my line in the sand and win that argument because I was still trying to win an argument with Dad, basically.
Right.
And, you know, it took years.
So were you just rebelling against the fact that he wanted things his way and you didn't have the opportunity to express yourself?
And this happens for a lot of kids. This is why, you know, do you know what the crime wave? Pretty much crime is 15 to 25 in the United States.
What do you mean, age?
Yes.
Okay, 15 to 25 are the most criminals.
Males 15 to 25 years of age are perpetrating most of the crime.
And this is related to what we just talked about.
Of course, because they're rebelling against their strict, you know, or strict or not strict, but they're definitely in rebellious mode.
I see.
And, you know, even if you come from a permissive home, you've still had to go to school or, you know, maybe church. You know, everybody has their own little story about where they feel like they gave up their freedoms and didn't get to call their own shots.
Right, right.
And so that tends to play out a lot between the ages of 15 and 25.
That's the basic human feeling to be what? To be an individual? To be an adult? To be a what?
Yes. In psychological terms, we do call some of that individuation, but we hope it doesn't actually land you in jail.
Rebellion.
You know what I mean? I mean, yes, if your teenager is saying, I hate what you wear, I hate your music, I hate the way you chew your food, I hate all your friends, I just can't stand my parents, I don't want to be seen with my parents, that's a very normal part of individuation.
Right. Okay.
So, which is an important psychological process that we all have to go through. Now, we all know somebody who didn't do that. Because we all know somebody who's still tied to their mother's apron strings.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you think about how obnoxious that is, then you understand how important it is to have this really repugnant teenager on your hands for a few years. And then hopefully that'll help you get through it without too much heartache.
But as far as adults are concerned, the people who are bringing their entire families...
If you're stuck on that, then you're not really grown up yet, are you?
If you're stuck on what? Rebelling against your parents?
Yeah, exactly. If you're still trying to rebel in your 30s and 40s, then you're not really grown up yet.
Okay, that's well and fine. But these people who are, and then these are great in numbers, but the people who are older who are doing this, isn't there also a certain amount of with a mate or with a wife or with someone, isn't a certain amount of it control and power? Or they feel like they're losing control of power. They're out of, right? I mean, to defend themselves? Okay.
Yeah, there is. That always makes you think of Dr. Phil, right, who says... Well,
I don't ever like to think of Dr. Phil.
I know. I'm sorry, I'm bringing up all these references.
Okay.
But, you know, one of his sayings is, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
You know what I say to him?
Tell me.
If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your whole life because of my... Anyway, go ahead. Dr. Phil, and he followed my advice. I don't know. Maybe
he's, oh, sure.
Is his wife pretty?
Is his wife pretty?
Yeah.
Well,
because if she's not, then those guys who sang that song might be right. Because you know, if you marry a gorgeous woman and she runs away, you're sad. You marry an ugly woman, she runs away. Who cares? That's the whole idea. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if Dr. Phil's wife is pretty or not.
Okay, but go ahead.
She's very petite.
He says
and
what?
And she's a good dresser.
She's petite. Well, you know, then she's on top a lot, huh? Because he's got quite a big frame there. He could hurt her.
I often wonder about him giving all those shows on losing weight. I'm always saying, why don't you try losing a couple yourself?
But, of course, he probably takes over. His name is Phil, after all. But no,
I'm not going to make any.
Okay, don't. No, because you're going to be on Dr. Phil, I'm going to see to that.
I'd love to be on his show. Yeah. I'm sure they have a lovely sex life.
But let's go back. Forget about them. Let's go back to this now about arguing where there's not even an argument, but it's like they forcefully making an argument out of trying to take control or have power, right?
Sometimes it can be about trying to have power, yes. But mostly that comes down to kind of showdown things. It's not so much that you go around trying to have a fight to assert your power. It's that you feel like this person that you married is kind of invading your territory, or they've won too many fights, or they have called too many of the shots, and for God's sake, you've got to balance things out, even things out, so, you know, you will die on this hill because, you know, they've gone too far.
In general, aren't men more defensive than women?
You know, I think the genders just have different ways of doing things.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think men are more defensive than women for any reason?
I don't think men are more defensive than women, and I think that they might appear to be that way because they have a different way of handling frustration.
So give us the two. Give us the feminine way of handling frustration and the male way of handling frustration along these lines.
Well, a woman would probably be more likely to be a little more understanding and at the same time wind up pretty much getting things her way.
So she would say, darling, I just want to say that, oh, you know, it's really 2000, it's the 2000s now, it's the new millennium, and putting Vitalis in your hair is really not, it doesn't look good and it doesn't become you and it makes you seem old. And he goes, yeah, well, who cares what you stink and what's it? And he immediately gets defensive, right? I like Vitalis. In fact, I drink it once in a while. And, you know, so...
See, now, from my perspective, I think it's interesting that men a lot of times can hold their space a little better than women can. Not always. But at least when it comes to something like their appearance. And here's the reason it becomes very dangerous to start trying to make a... you know, generalized statements about what men do or what women do, because you really need to break it down on the topic. If you're talking to men about the way they look, which is what your example was about, most men have more confidence about their appearance than women do.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And that breaks down according to age, because if you go into the 20-somethings now, they're starting to have eating disorders and feel really impacted by this whole six-pack ab, 12-pack ab thing that's in the media.
Uh-huh.
And men are starting to feel that pressure if they're young. But guys in their 40s, 50s, and 60s probably could care less at this point, because they've really spent most of their life feeling pretty immune to... what do I look like? Who cares what I look like? How much money do I have and what do I drive is how a man used to get judged. So, I mean, most of these things are really pretty easy to trace to the culture. It's not so much that men and women are different as that they live in different worlds. And you tell a woman that she's unattractive, and she's going to be probably crushed.
Yeah.
And she may, you know, may feel a little angry at first, but she's probably going to go out of her way to try to live up to whatever expectations you have. But again, that depends on race, because we've done studies about self-esteem and body image for Caucasian women and African-American women, and African-American women tend to, they'd be at the camp like, you can just go blow it out, you know what, who cares what you think, whereas a white woman would maybe develop an eating disorder.
Wow. We're talking with Veronica Monet, who is the expert of all experts on people. I know this personally, because every once in a while she calls me and she says, did you do that again? And I went, how did you know? I was just talking.
It's like
you have a chip in my arm and you're, okay. The point I'm trying to make here is that...
I've got you on my GPS, baby.
Yeah, see?
I'm tracking you.
Yeah, I know.
Take your hand off of that while you're on the radio.
This is Cotolo Chronicles, and we're going into the second hour here, Y2K plus 9. We're slate this January 15th. Only 15 days already into this new year.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Incredible. And Veronica is working on this stuff is really fascinated, and this is really almost an affinity with you in terms of how people relate. What about let's look at some more basic things about people arguing. First of all, does anybody ever win an argument? Or is it only when somebody gives up? How does that work?
If you really want to win, you got to stop having the desire to win. I mean, that's the whole idea. That's one of the reasons that couples have these recurring fights. It's really two patterns in relationships nowadays, for the most part. People either avoid all conflict, in which case you'll see them with kind of this Pollyannish smile on their face all the time, and it's just kind of go along to get along. And they just agree all the time, give up space, oh, nothing matters. Nothing matters enough to have a fight about it, for God's sake. I mean, I wouldn't want to have a fight, right?
Right.
And then the other model that seems really popular is basically that, you know, we just keep having this same argument over and over again. So just to get some peace of mind, a lot of times we just start avoiding each other. Where, you know, I'm off in my room playing computer games, and she's off in her room. Maybe instant messaging one of her girlfriends or texting her friends or something, but we might be in the same house, but we're not actually communicating with each other anymore, because when we do, there's this uncomfortable, tense feeling like we're about ready to have a fight. So most people have a blend of those two patterns, so they avoid conflict, and then every so often the teapot explodes, it blows up, and everybody has to have this argument, and it's always the same argument. It might be about, you know, the trash one week and the kids the next, but it's still the same argument. And the reason that you keep having the same argument over and over again is because you're not actually listening to each other. Because if you really are in love with this person and you married them because you love them, then if they tell you that they're really unhappy, a normal, natural response to that would be compassion. But most couples don't feel compassion when they're in an argument. What they feel is defensive and angry and fearful. And if you're defensive and angry and fearful, it's almost impossible to feel compassion for your partner. Your partner looks like the enemy in that moment. They look like they're out to get you, and you are bound and determined that you're going to win. Or at least protect yourself, defend yourself. I have to defend myself is a common response from people. These things just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work. And not if you want to have intimacy and you want to have a happy, thriving relationship for a long time and you want to have an awesome sex life. Those things don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They will kill the relationship, and you'll just be another statistic, you know, trotting over to the courthouse to get your divorce so that you can go try your luck with the next person,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty much what most people are doing.
But now that's a cut and dry scenario that you gave us, because what's involved there also might be the disturbance of somebody feeling bad because of their parents, and you know what I'm saying? There's something else going on there. It gets very complex.
And
it's like, I'm not going to listen to this, but then you, and then suppose, but wait,
listen to it.
You got to listen to this though.
Same either way.
But listen to this. Now, this is I've always been told this, and it's something that I tried to shy away from, the more involved I got into relationships. And that is this: you don't want to be your wife's analyst. I mean, and the wife doesn't want to sit there and be the husband's analyst.
Exactly.
You can't do that. No. So there's a matter of like, oh, compassion, I'll listen. And then while you're listening, you're going, oh, my goodness, I think you need, you know, have you ever looked at this? Have you looked at that? And then if you start doing this stuff, you're in a lot of trouble. And that's a matter of compassion. But for some reason or another, when you go see a doctor or, you know, a shrink or whatever, that person is neutral. So therefore, you don't get into trouble. That's one of the important things about therapy, right? That there's a neutral ears.
And
so how do you be compassionate without turning into the analyst of your wife, or your wife being the analyst of you? What is compassion?
Well, my answer to that's where your healthy boundaries come in.
That's where your healthy boundaries come in. You know, I didn't know when I decided to play that particular portion from 2009 that was Veronica on that show, and it makes me think I should get in touch with Veronica again. It's been ages since she's been on the show, and she's had so much success with her own practice and her own stay. I got to find out about what's going on with Veronica, about them apples. That's what I'll do. I will do that. My name is Frank Cotolo, Manos Name of Jones, the title of the show. I'm not crazy about listening to myself, so I don't listen back to these. And, of course, I stay here when I do the classics. I haven't done a classic in a while. But there are a lot of good classics I'd like to hear again. For gosh sakes, don't you know I would. In the meantime, in between time, we have to cut that one off there. Maybe we could pick it up again sometime. It's, you know, whatever. Veronica Monet, if you Google her, and boy, who doesn't want to Google Veronica Monet? No, you know what I mean. Google her, M-O-N-E-T, Veronica, and you'll find out where she's at. I know I'm going to be doing that again because I want to get in touch with her. I do have her number and her Twitter. And she's on Twitter also. I'm on Twitter too. Go get me on Twitter. What is it? At Frank Cotolo. There's no hiding it. And of course, everywhere else, as I have mentioned, you can go to figure out what the heck is going on with me and you and everything. fcotolo@yahoo.com. Many people send me emails and ask me things, and I can answer because I'm allowed and I can do that. And what else? Let's see. Maybe there's something like we have to do like this. Should we do this right now? Yes, we should, because it is indeed that time. So you go to my Facebook, or you go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, and you can find out what's going on here. Unless I have it pre-booked, I don't know. What's going to happen on the 17th? More stuff. Stay on the Hallelujah Trail. Go by the books. Do what you got to do to stay in the moment and move along productively. There will be some painful veneers, curtains. There will be some painful moments, but they will pass too. So my name is Frank Cotolo, the man's name joins the title of the show. I said that, and I'll just leave you with it all right now. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located on this evening. A laugh and a tear for you. Me? I'll leave. Because why? Here are those words. I have nothing more to say.